watching the Oreo. Watching the Oreo. Watching the Oreo. Watching the Oreo.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. When it comes to the Orioles, this weekly podcast is your official source for a lack of insight and for baseless opinions. Today is April 4th, 2024, and this is episode 385. My name is Jake English.
And I'm Scott Magnus.
And on today's show, well, it says here we're going to get our vision checked.
Ooh, fun. And we're going to usher in the triumphant return of our in-season segments.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And we'll do all that right after we lubricate the show. That's right. It's time for the drink of the week. Scott Magnus, what is your drink of this week?
So, Jake, I'm doing a Graffiti Highway IPA from a lovely brewery up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, Tros Brewing Company. Independent brewing. I believe it might be a top 10 microbrewery in the country. It's pretty good. If you like IPAs, but not quite the 60 minutes of the world. It's going to be a little less, it's going to be a little bit more mellow on an IBU basis, but not quite in the hazy territory in terms of that juiciness aspect. But I would say it's a toned down IPA with a slight juice is the best way to put it.
You know, I'm a big fan of things with slight juice.
Slight juice. No grapefruit though, so be aware.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
I'm drinking a Double Cannon.
Definitely got some IBU there
from Heavy Seas. It's the kind of day that requires
you
a Double Cannon
to chew through your beer.
If you are interested to see what we are drinking on a daily, weekly, and inning by inning basis, please come join us on Untappd. I'm at Jake E 4025.
I'm at MAGN 8606. And with that, it's going to be time for a checkup.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown. Time for your checkup.
She's gonna listen to your heartbeat, fix you up, ready to go.
Time for your checkup. It's okay if you giggle.
This will only tickle a little.
Time for your checkup. Time.
So much giggling. Yes.
Only a little.
Just a little?
So we actually have some content here in the medical wing this week. CNL Perez down with an oblique. He was sent down. Heasley came up. And one thing I can tell you, Scott, we'll always have Perez.
We always have Perez.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah. Jake, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but someday. Yeah, so he's apparently feeling better and hopeful that he can start throwing soon. So he's not dead.
You're not going to sing the French national anthem?
I might.
Okay.
I might. Give me time. Give me time.
Yeah. Next, you know, it's the classic ouchies from the right elbow. Kyle Bradish and John Means. John Means did get a rehab start in.
Did he?
He did. I mean, he went out there. He basically threw all fastballs. John Means is not a fastball pitcher.
I'm sorry. Did you say fastball or meatball?
Both for John Means on that basis. But yeah, we'll see how he gets back into the Norfolk, you know, spot start. I think he's probably going to go again on Friday or maybe on Saturday. So we'll see what he progresses.
Pretty sure he has to wait until the balls that he gave up land. Like, that is a rule.
Apparently, that's not the rule in Norfolk right now, is the best way to put it. So let's be candid. And again, we still don't have any further word from Kyle Bradish, except he's heading to Sarasota to continue his throwing program.
I would want to do it there.
But again, John Means, 30 days away. You're looking at, you know, early May for him to come back. And it certainly can't come soon enough, it looks like, is the best way to put it. We also have another injury on the medical wing. Apparently, there's about 20,000 fans this week that are waterlogged. So they're drying out from the intense rain from the past few weeks. So if you're one of those fans, thanks for bringing a brave soul. Really appreciate it. If you stayed for the 5-hour rain delay, the psych visit will be happening in the near future.
That's a different medical wing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave the medical wing. Let's head over to the socials this week on the socials, Scotty. And I would like, if I may, to start with Threads. Is that allowed?
Sure.
We're going to start with a thread from AF Koska. I think we all know who that is. Do the Orioles have a new celebration in the making? Maybe. The revving of the engine made its appearance multiple times on opening day. It's not for sure the new celebration, but there's momentum. As long as it looks cool, that's what really matters. Scotty, yay or nay on the revving of the engine?
Nay.
Okay, last year, you and I had a lengthy conversation in which I was unfun.
Mm-hmm.
I was less than fun,
yeah,
about the dong bong.
Yeah.
And I love the dong bong.
Yeah.
But now that it's gone, I miss it even more.
Yeah.
I miss it even more.
Yeah, I am not a fan. Honestly, it kind of lacks a little creativity for me. So I'm looking for something else.
Yeah. Well, let's leave Threads and head over to Twitter X.
Okay.
And this is a tweet from Jake Rill at Jake D. Rill. Ryan Mountcastle was the first to use the hashtag Orioles Homer Hose in 23. Now he was the first to try out the handlebars. They handed them to me and I didn't really know what to do with it. So I was like, okay. Honestly, I didn't know what it was as I grabbed them. So Scott, secondary question. Mm. Not a big fan of the revving. Where do you land on the Homer handlebars?
I know Cole Urban bought a really fancy handlebar, apparently. Like, someone came out and said, like, they were really, like, high-end handlebars. But not feeling this one either.
Also, not feeling it.
I want to ride my...
I think they need to workshop that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Here's another thing. I'm delighted.
Someone pointed out on I believe it was X, that someone thinks it has to do with the I think you should leave a sketch that involves the motorcycle. I think that's a major stretch. I know how much the Orioles players love I think you should leave now, mm-hmm. including Adley Rutschman.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it. I just don't see it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
So when people say that, you say, you sure about that?
You sure about that?
Look at me. I got a reference.
You got a reference.
I knew a thing.
Yeah.
You are
the driving crooner, so.
I am delighted that the bird bath is still with us. I am a little suspicious of it in March and April, though. I cannot imagine buying a ticket in the bird bath this time of year.
Yeah, because again, bird bath didn't start until I believe it was late May last year. So we have never seen, we'll call it April baseball in the bird bath. It looks brutal.
It looks brutal.
And I kept talking to people before. I was just like, it'll be fun in April. And people are like, you're insane. It's going to be miserable. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I need to listen to my friends more.
They need to move to Silly String or something. Like, you just can't do that.
I mean, I think you can do it. I think people are signing up for it regardless because I think it's a fun experience, but when it feels 40 degrees outside and you're getting sprayed by the hose, it's something else is going on there. Speaking about spraying and hosing things, what? We're not doing phrasing anymore?
That was a tremendous segue. we're in mid-season form already.
We're going to go back to Threads really quickly, and we're going to talk about MLB Pipeline. Heston Kerstad, Jackson Holliday, Cody Mayo, three of the Orioles' top 100 prospects, led a record-setting night for the Norfolk Tides, and this is in regards to last night's game where Norfolk piled it on. Kerstad had 10 RBIs, I believe it was. It was an absolutely ridiculous night for the Norfolk Tides. Kerstad, Holliday, Mayo, Norby, Stowers, like all of them are just absolutely in fuego right now. I think they actually, those five people, I believe, lead all minor league baseball right now for home runs.
They lead the world.
Yeah. So, it's unbelievable is the best way to put it.
This is the same question, though, as you so well addressed with the Angels series.
Mm-hmm.
Are those players playing out of their mind awesome, or is the competition not quite there?
I think they're just playing out of their mind. And because, again, I don't think like Durham, for example, is that bad. I mean, it's a Rays organization. So I believe, actually, if I remember correctly, and again, someone that is much more in tune with minor league baseball records can correct me, but I feel like Durham finished second place to Norfolk last year in AAA. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I'm almost positive that's the case.
All so right.
I think they're just I think they got five major league baseball players in the top of their order.
And it is often
quadruple A. These are major
right.
league baseball
it players. It is often said that the difference between the majors and the minors is just incredible.
Yeah, exactly,
and we might be seeing that.
Yeah.
All right, let's leave. What were we on? Threads X. Let's leave wherever we were. And let's head over to
Bluer Skies.
Yeah, let's go to Bluer Skies.
Yeah,
we're gonna stay on the blue sky here. Well, sort of. This post, I don't know what you call it on Blue Sky.
I don't know either. Honestly.
This social media unit comes to us from Jake Russell at jakerussell.blueskydotsocial. The Oakland Athletics are moving to Sacramento for three seasons, and then there's a Washington Post article about it. Yikes on bikes, my friend.
Potentially a fourth season, too.
This is a very unfortunate situation to put a major league team in a minor league park for a short period of time.
Mm.
Okay, I get
this. We saw that with Toronto and Buffalo.
Right. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But to have a multi-year, I mean, I just want you to think about as a professional athlete in Sacramento, of the Athletics. How that feels, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible. And how does it feel for Oakland fans, right? I mean, this is the great indecency of the situation that's going on out there is just incredible. And every time that I see a new headline, it's like, God, it can't get worse. Oh, it can.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think another interesting standpoint is going to be, I wonder how the Players Association is going to relate to this. Because again, if you're going to be in minor league facilities, in most instances are not to the degree that is necessary for Major League Baseball players over a time period. So the home team obviously is going to be upset about it, but also visiting teams, especially in the AL West, should be making a major stink of being like, I don't want to play that many games in a minor league baseball stadium.
Yeah.
This whole matter, even from an Oakland, the owner basically coming out today and saying, I think it's gonna be really fun to watch like all stars like Aaron Judge come in here and hit in the stadium, just screams like, you are so freaking clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is an embarrassment for Major League Baseball, an absolute embarrassment. Not to bring him up, but I'll bring him up on this basis. Buster Olney tweeted about this as well. Did you know that there was only a $37 million difference between the agreement that the A's had basically thrown out and what Oakland had offered the A's over a three-year period? And that is why the A's are in essence walking away.
I'm sorry, how much money?
$37 million, I think it was.
What?
So tell me you're going for a cash grab without telling me you're going for a cash grab.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
It's sickening. It is worse than I thought. But Scott, this is my question to you. My question to you is this.
Truth or truth?
Sutter Health Park.
Yeah.
In Sacramento.
Yeah. Holds like 10,000 people.
Does Sutter Health Park get an all-star game before Camden Yards?
There's a possibility. Oh, my goodness.
All right, Scott, are you...
Once again, Frederick loses out in this deal. So.
Right. Are you... Are you ready for a toot?
Toot, toot.
Let's head over to Mastodon. This toot comes to us from the Baltimore Orioles. For fans with tickets to today's game, and it's an image of their announcement, basically the Orioles, I'm not going to bury the lead. The Orioles did a great thing here.
Yeah.
The Orioles.
They've done this before.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they're doing it again.
They provided vouchers for fans who had tickets for the game where there was a 5-hour rain delay. You can come to any future game. They let fans back in the park if they had left. And of course, reentry is almost never allowed, and open seating during the game. The Orioles had a crap situation where the schedule meant that they had to do everything they could to get that game in. And I really do feel like they did a lot for the fans that had tickets to that game to make it up as best as they could.
I agree that I think they did what they needed to do here. This is what any baseball team should be doing. Let's just call it out that. I think it's great that they're on offer a free game to all the fans for a Monday to Thursday game, which I think is fair since it was a weekday game. I think that's great. What I would have liked to have seen, if I'm completely being candid, is everyone could have looked at the forecast and been like, we're probably not getting this game in before this given period of time. What I would have liked to have seen them say is, hey, the game is not going to start at 1 o'clock. We're going to push the start time to 4 o'clock and then reevaluate at that point.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't do that means that people showed up to the stadium and were like, well, maybe we will get the game in. But I think the plan was always going to be, we're going to play a 4, 5, or 6 o'clock game because that was when the window was going to appear. I wish they would have given a little bit more like, 1 o'clock's not going to happen. We're going to move it to 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Again, from a social media standpoint, this just happened today with another fan base. And I believe it was the Phillies, I think, just did this, where they're like, we originally had a game at 2 o'clock next Monday, but there's going to be a solar eclipse. So we're moving the game to 6 o'clock. That's the kind of thing that, like, it's not exactly the same, but I think the Orioles could have done something in this given regard.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they're allowed to do that from a Major League Baseball standpoint, but I would have liked it. That's the only asterisk. But from a PR standpoint, this is what any Major League Baseball team should have done.
Scott, won't someone think of the beer sales?
I was actually wondering that because, again, when we were at the game on Saturday after opening day, we were talking to one of the vendors, and he said, beer sales close off 3 hours after first pitch. And I said, what happens if you go into delay? And he's just like, beer sales close 3 hours after first pitch. And I said, so if it's a 1 o'clock game and it gets delayed to 4 o'clock, I said, you can't sell any beer. And he's like, well, and I'm like, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I think I hear my mom calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that is a walk through the socials for this week. Let's take a quick break. Let's step aside, and then we'll see what happens from there.
So we're going to break a little rule here. We are going to do this segment a little bit later on. But Jake, opening day occurred. And it's always kind of been tradition for Bird's Eye View for us to kind of give a review of opening day. So Jake, I'm going to ask you, what is your good, bad, and ugly for opening day to kind of start us off? So Jake, what was your good for opening day this year on opening day?
Good was probably the outcome, right? Mm-hmm. It was a great win. It was a great game. It was a great fan experience in the game. You know, I'm usually drawn to the pomp and circumstance. I'm usually drawn to, you know, the extracurriculars, you know, outside the stadium, you know, throughout the rest of the day. Opening day is a spectacle, mm-hmm. right? I really enjoyed being at the park at a baseball game. It was a good game. You know, the Orioles rolled. It was fun.
And Jake, In non-typical fashion for me, I enjoyed the spectacle outside the stadium this year is the best way to describe it. I really enjoyed going to Iron Rooster. Thanks so much for Iron Rooster for hosting us. You know, thanks for bringing out one of their rooster tarts. Really appreciate that. So absolutely recommend Iron Rooster. My wife walked away from that saying, like, we should bring the kids here in the future. And I'm like, no argument here. Orange Crushes and going to a baseball game? Yeah, it sounds pretty good. But then we got to go down to the city. We went over past Pickles to Quigley's, which is an Irish pub in heavy quotation marks. We got to go to a little block party that is over there right next to the power plant substation. And then we got to go over and meander not into the Pickles madness per se, but close to the Brooks Robinson statue.
Pickles adjacent.
More the Hampton Inn area is the best way to describe it. But we enjoyed a few beers out there on that basis. But yeah, I enjoyed the pomp and circumstance. of opening day, much like you normally do as well. So, Jake, what was your bad for opening day?
Got to be the weather.
Yeah.
Weather sucked.
Yeah. Weather was very cold and overcast and not great in the upper deck area. So I think that was definitely a bad. My bad, honestly, and I hate to say it, it was the opening intro. I mean, again, everyone talked about it from the sound system. You couldn't hear Kevin Brown. It made it really awkward. You know, there's a lot of key moments in there, even like the memorial standpoint to like Peter Angelos and standpoint. It just felt not great. Like it could have been better. And again, you're coming off winning an AL East championship and Kevin Brown was doing everything he could, but it's tough to engage the crowd when the crowd really can't hear what's going on. And even Jim Palmer said the same thing. He's just like, yeah, but people could barely hear you, Kevin. And you know, it's something that has to get fixed as soon as possible. It has to be fixed. I don't know how long it's going to take. It has to be fixed as soon as possible.
Yeah, that was my ugly, yeah. Right? That was going to be my ugly, is that the sound system is really, really become an issue. I should have broken this out for the socials.
Yeah.
But right after opening day, somebody took a picture of the Coors Light flight deck.
Yeah.
And said, I think very correctly, that the H and the E in that sign should be used the same way the Baltimore Sun sign was used. And so it is a huge, and I mean huge miss for them to not have done that.
It'd be interesting to see if they can do that with the LED lighting on that standpoint. So my ugly, because again, you went to the sound system standpoint, my ugly is, you know, if you go to opening day and you fall asleep during opening day, you're going to be my ugly.
She's not going to hear this anyway.
It's okay, but I'm just going to say it out loud. Like, you're there for the whole atmosphere, the camaraderie standpoint like that. And, you know, to in essence be like, wow, the team is doing so well and there's so much excitement and there's so much fanfare and stuff like that, and be like, I'd rather curl up in a ball and fall asleep.
All right. So my wife, Sarah, had a grand old time before we got to the ballpark. Again, she started the day with me with a baseball beer and had a grand old time. Curled up, went to sleep, woke up and was still cold, and later on told me I wish that I had slept longer.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and break the rules like we do at Bird's Eye View. I'm going to give a good, coming off of that ugly, I want to give a good to Orioles guest relations. In addition to your wife falling asleep in the stadium, she also lost a personal good of hers as well. Orioles guest relation was good enough to find this item for her, hold on to that item, and we were able to pick it up for her the next day at the stadium. And in addition, we were over there with my 6-year-old, and they allowed my 6-year-old to come behind the booth, serve as guest relations, and answer a few questions for people as they came up to it. So again,
first of all, I'm sure she did a great job.
She did a great job.
Also, I don't know why you are bothering to spare Sarah's dignity. She left her wallet.
I'm trying to be nice here, is the best way to describe it. But yeah,
that's not what we do here.
She left her wallet with all her credit cards and her driver's license and everything that is her life.
The birds were great about it.
Yeah, but the birds were absolutely great about it. They were really understanding. And they're just like, listen, we understand people fall asleep in the stadium all the time. We've seen that during the dark ages many a times, is the best way to put it.
Different context.
Normally people fall asleep and then Chris Davis hits them with a home run. But I mean, there's all the difference. But all things aside, opening day, 2 thumbs up. Great day. Super exciting. If you didn't come away from opening day super jazzed, I don't know how you don't have a pulse. I was super eager on Friday. I was just like, oh my God, I just want to play baseball again. Mm-hmm. I just want to play baseball again. So I was so excited to go back on Saturday to the next game. And again, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, specifically of this new, you know, documentary that's coming out from the Orioles. We're seeing this theme that is now coming out from the organization, where they keep discussing this aspect of the next chapter. And it's going to be interesting to see how much the team in essence says, okay, we're again no longer this team in rebuild. We in essence won 101 games next year. But again, we got swept out of the playoffs. So the next chapter is in essence, how in essence do we take that next step to go further into the playoffs and potentially win a World Series? And I'm glad that there's this kind of theme. I think it makes a lot of sense. I like that ownership is in essence talking about it as well. But it will just really be interesting to see how the team embraces behind that.
So I really feel like it was ownership that you know, started using the phrase "the next chapter" or latched onto the phrase. Do you think that was a team PR, or do you think that came from ownership?
I think it came from Rubenstein. I do. Like, I think it did. Like, it, if you look at him, and again, I listen to a lot of Bloomberg is the best way to describe it. I mean, you can fault me for that as much as you want, and that probably tells a little bit more about me than well, most people probably.
I'll fault you for so many other things.
But again, you know, listening to Rubenstein on Bloomberg in many instances, I'm not shocked that he would have come up with that is the best way to describe it. Like, he is somewhat of a storyteller, and I could see him in essence like crafting this story on this basis.
So you name checked him. Let's talk about Rubenstein for a second, because the last time we talked about him on the show, I think it was, you know, what do we think ownership's going to be? And I was a little suspicious, I think.
As you should be.
Right? Saying like, you know, what do we really know about this guy? Everything is roses right now.
Yep.
Right? It's the honeymoon period. The team, you know, is so far performing well. So let's just acknowledge that for a moment. But having said that, I kind of love the fact that David Rubenstein is just like an old dork.
Yeah.
Like he's a nerdy old man.
Yeah.
And I love that about him.
Did you know that he has his own diplomacy league?
If that is true, I'm going to get into it.
I think there's a lot of subtle differences. And again, I think there's still an ire suspicion that we should all have with the whole banner. But again, I think back to last year, during all the incidences and stuff like that. And even if you think back to, we'll call it, you know, the Buckle Up Birds era, specifically I'm thinking about Statues games, ownership played a really significant part of being like, this needs to be about me. And yes, there was recognition for the new ownership group, but it didn't feel so heavy-handed that the ownership group made it all about them for opening day. And it would have been very easy. In fact, I was almost expecting it. I'm like, where is the ownership group? Like, why are they not putting greater emphasis? But there was no like, we're going to screen to the skyboxes and show the ownership group. There was nothing like that. You know, they were there on the field. They said play ball, but there was very little aspect of a fanfare standpoint. And it was much more during the day and before the game started, much more of an aspect of like, I'm just going to go and enjoy the environment inside and outside the stadium. So you had Rubenstein, in essence, walking the concourse and basically talking to fans, taking pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you had my new leadership, of course, making their rounds over at Pickles and saying, we're going to buy everybody a beer. And again, can you even imagine John Angelos walking over to Pickles and buying everyone a beer? Like,
no.
It's like a completely foreign aspect on that basis.
And again, like just like the Cal Ripken thing.
Yeah.
Even if it is the grossest, like, heavy-handed pandering.
Yeah.
It's good pandering. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
So I was talking to somebody today at work about this, and they were talking about a fellow coworker of theirs, and they're like, yeah, but when they do that, they do it kind of in a pandering manner. And I said, and? I said, welcome to being adult. Everybody's kind of pandering to each other. I said, how does that hurt you? And they're just like, well, I know it's kind of BS. And I'm like, so who cares? How does it hurt you? Like, you know it's BS. Chalk it up as, I know it's BS. I'm going to take it for what it is. But why are you letting it bother you? Like, don't let it bother you. Just move on.
Hey, free beer is free beer.
Right, exactly. So, again, we'll see what happens. Again, you know, ultimately, actions are going to be bigger than words is the best way to put it. But from a opening day standpoint and a next chapter standpoint, I mean, I thought opening day was a really great day for the organization. I'm interested to see additional minority owners like make you know, come on broadcast. We had Grant Hill come on, have a conversation. I'm looking forward to seeing like Kurt Schmoke come on in the future maybe and have a few conversations. But yeah, I mean, I thought overall it was a great, great opening day for the city and the fandom of Baltimore on that basis.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So again, we always talk about the standpoint of the beginning of the season, and it is very difficult for us to, in essence, make assertions about what things are going on, everything like that, because of small sample size, or as I like to put it, small sample size.
Are you telling me that we're not going to spend the rest of the show overanalyzing every last detail that we've seen over the last six games?
Well, not exactly is the best way to describe it. So I had an idea specifically on this basis, and it comes back to a very, we'll call it, famous series that is out there right now called Love is Blind. Are you familiar with Love is Blind?
I know that this is a television show.
It is a kind of. It's the best way to describe it.
It's a reality show?
It's a reality TV show.
A dating show?
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like a dating show. So
I've met the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. I've never seen her before.
Here, you will choose someone to marry.
Hello.
Nice to hear from you. Can't say see ya.
Without ever seeing
them. All right, so Jake, we've barely seen these guys this season, but I'm going to ask you if you can fall in love with them based off a few numbers that I give you.
Oh, jeez. I was wondering where this was going, Scotty.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll off, you know, 3 to 4 stats is the best way to describe it. And again, a very small sample size, and ask you, Jake, are you willing to love this individual and enter into a contractual marriage agreement with them to be a fan of them for the rest of this season?
Oh, no. I feel like there's context
Nick
here.
Nick Lachey is involved with the show, so, I mean, are you okay with that? We can turn it up to 98 degrees if you want.
I feel like there's so much context I'm not getting here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So, Jake, the first individual I'm going to kind of roll off to you in terms of whether or not you're going to love them or not, currently has a .238 average, a .320 on-base percentage, and currently has a .235 BABIP.
Well, I like the on-base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
This person plays for the Baltimore Orioles.
Yes, all these individuals are going to play for the Baltimore Orioles because I wouldn't let your heart go elsewhere into Major League Baseball.
So this is an Oriole.
This is an Oriole.
Then I'm ready to love this person blindly.
Okay. So this individual is Gunnar Henderson, who you're willing to love blindly.
Really?
Yes.
Run that back for me again.
.238 average, .320 on base percentage, and he currently has a .235 BABIP.
Wow. Okay.
Now, from a weighted plus standpoint, he's at 128. He's got an WOBA of .339. So he is hitting above league average is the best way to describe it as of this given moment. But, you know, some of those numbers on the average side, specifically in the BABIP standpoint, are a little rough around the edges.
Okay.
All right. So, Jake, this next individual currently has a 5.06 ERA, a 6.88 FIP, but has an 8.44 Ks per nine.
Is this a starter?
I can't give you that information. I'm sorry.
Okay, Scott, I am not willing to make this kind of commitment on such a small sample size. I'm more in a wait and see territory with this stat line.
So you're going to pass over this individual?
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame because it's not passed over quite yet for this individual. That would be Dean Kramer, who you just passed over.
Womp womp.
So yeah, Dean Kramer leads up the Baltimore Orioles currently with the lowest F war right now on the team with a negative 0.1.
You know what they were hitting really hard on the broadcast was how many games the Orioles have won that Dean pitches.
That's true.
And that is not a real stat.
No.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it's even less compelling than pitcher wins.
Correct.
But it is it. I mean, not interesting. Interesting is the wrong word. It got a out of me, you know?
Right. So, Jake, this next individual has been hitting the cover off the ball. He's got a .500 average.
That sounds good.
A .500 on-base percentage, .625 slugging,
ooh,
.496 WOBA,
ooh,
and currently has a .242 weighted runs created plus.
Mm. Yes. Love it. Love it.
You're marrying this guy.
Book it right now.
All right. So, James McCann is now going to be your permanent primary catcher going for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't say primary catcher, but
you're going to swing around?
He's a pretty dude.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Take care of it. Take care of business.
It's all good.
Okay.
It's all good.
It's all good.
He had himself a heck of a game.
He had a heck of a game. And like I said, you know, it's funny. You should mention the standpoint of, you know, James McCann. You know, we've seen backup catchers for a long time when they come up and you're just like, oh, like this is going to be brutal from an offensive standpoint. I mean, as much as I love the guy, Caleb Joseph would enter into that category. Loved him defensively, loved him on this team.
Sunday lineup.
But when he came up to the plate, you're like, this is not going to happen.
Will this be the day this year he gets an RBI?
And, you know, James McCann is still not a great hitter. Certainly he's had a good, you know, three games is the best way to put it. But I'd say he's serviceable and it's not an absolute detriment. I would classify him as a slightly below average hitter, but again, a decent 7, 8, 9 hole hitter.
This is also a guy who knows his role. He's come in, he's a professional. He does everything he can to help the team. He's a real team first guy. And so knowing that he is the guy playing behind Adley Rutschman, you know, who is existing in Rutschman's shadow, it does make me feel good that he gets occasional days like this, because I feel like, you know, there are a handful of games every season that he is a, you know, if not takes over, just a huge part in. And it's like, oh, good for him.
Yeah. You know, occasionally on Love is Blind, there is, you know, an individual that is such a smoke show that it's obviously instantly going to happen. So, Jake, this next individual has a 10.80 Ks per nine, 0 walks per nine. Currently is posting a 2.31 ERA, an xERA of 0.63, a FIP of 2.03. Jake, you know, based off those stats, that's an absolute smoke show. Are you marrying this individual?
I mean, it seems like I should, but that makes me wary. Sure.
Jake, congratulations. You are now married to Corbin Burns.
Yes. Yes. All right. Let's talk about Corbin Burns for a second.
What you feeling this Love is Blind thing? I mean,
if this segment, Scott, makes me watch Love is Blind even for a moment.
You're welcome.
You and I are going to have trouble. I've obviously enjoyed watching him pitch.
Yeah.
I've also enjoyed watching him in the postgame.
Yeah.
He seems like a really thoughtful guy. The other thing about Corbin Burns, which cracks me up, is that he knows that he's here for a good time, not for a long time. Right? He and everybody else knows that he's here for this season and then he's going to go get his paycheck.
Yep.
But, you know, he's a professional. While he's here, he's going to do everything he can to make the team
win. And it might be here, but he's not basically saying it's going to be here. He's just like, I'm here to, in essence, put up a banner year in the American League East, and someone is going to pay me $40, $45 million.
And I really have just enjoyed his approach of, you know,
it's a proven season.
No excuses. Yep. I'm here to perform. I want to be good for the team. I want the team to do well. I've been really impressed with his approach. And seeing him pitch is fantastic. He's been everything that we could have possibly wanted. But he seems like he's also going to be, even if it's a short-term presence, a great presence in the locker room as well.
And again, you know, similar to that previous one that we just had, Jake, from Love is Blind, sometimes there's duds on Love is Blind. This individual has a 111 average, a 238 on base percentage, has played in 5 games with 21 at bats, and currently has a -2 weighted runs created plus.
I'm trying to imagine who that could be. I mean, I don't want any part of that.
So you are leaving Austin Hayes at the altar.
Oh, I mean, I think I'm leaving Austin Hayes' mustache at the altar.
Yeah, that's not a good mustache.
Man, so run that back for me again.
Sure. 111 average, 238 on base percentage, a WOBA of 161, a weighted runs created plus of -2, and has played in 5 games in 21 plate appearances.
Yeah, but he came out of the week healthy.
He did. He did come out of the week healthy is the best way to describe it. But those numbers are not great. And again, we talked about it earlier, specifically in terms of Norfolk with, you know, individuals such as Heston Kerstad, Kyle Stowers, you know, smacking the cover off the ball. And again, you know, we have seen him in a limited sample size. But Colton Cowser, who I wasn't going to bring up in Love is Blind, but has a 500 average right now, a 750 slugging, and a 276 weighted runs created plus. Now, again, it's only in 8 plate appearances.
He hasn't had a start yet, has he?
Yeah, he has. He had it on Monday.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, he had on Monday. But, I mean, you know, eventually folks like Austin Hayes, if Austin Hayes does not get it going, let's call it by the end of April, man, the shouting is going to get super loud if it isn't already getting loud.
Yeah.
I know there's a certain Boston fan on the radio that wants Austin Hayes gone right now. I'm not sure if I'm at that point, but I think if we get to the end of April and we see, in essence, 100 plate appearances and Austin Hayes is still maybe 30 or 40 weighted runs created plus, I think you eventually have to be like, okay, well, what are we going to do here with Austin Hayes?
So hear me out.
Yeah.
I understand that logic. If all of that happens that you just described and the Orioles are winning, mm-hmm. I don't think anything changes, right?
I agree with that aspect, that I don't think anything changes because we're a very stubborn organizational standpoint on that basis.
Well, also, like, don't make a move until you're trying to fix something.
Yeah. Right?
If the team hits a skid and Austin Hayes is not performing and that lack of performance is a factor in the fact that we're not winning, well, then maybe you got to do something, right?
Yeah.
But if the Orioles are winning, they're carrying a couple of non-performing hitters, you roll, you know, you roll with the dates you brung.
Yeah. Can I ask you one quick question from an Austin Hayes standpoint, just to kind of throw it out there? If Austin Hayes continues to struggle for a few more weeks, Austin Hayes still has one option remaining.
Oh, no. Does he really?
Yes. He's only got 4 years of service time and he has one option remaining.
That would feel terrible. That would feel terrible.
But do you send him down and say, figure out your swing, get your confidence back, get a feel for it, and then we're going to bring you back up?
Look what it did for Mullins.
Yeah. I mean, Mullins is a little bit of a different situation because, again, but I'm just wondering if it's a matter of like, hey, we're going to have you come up and be hot again. You have a bench bat there with Austin Hayes, again, a righty, because, again, we seem to have an issue with not having enough right-handed bats. But if Austin Hayes struggles for a little bit longer, do you say, we're going to option Austin Hayes in order for him to get hot again, and then you bring up someone like a Stowers or a Kerstead, and then you move Kowser to left field?
I can't imagine seeing that happening. I really can't.
So you can't love that?
No, no. Did you say leaving it at the altar? Is that what I'm doing?
Yes.
Yes. I'm the runaway.
Cedric Mullins also has two options as well.
Stop. Can you imagine putting two all-stars down in AAA to make room for Jesus?
I don't think that's going to happen for Cedric. I'm not putting it past the standpoint for Austin Hayes. So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah. All right. One more for Love is Blind. I'll go ahead and give you these numbers as it relates to this. This individual has a 18 Ks per nine, currently good for a 9 ERA and good for a negative 0.69 FIP. 18 Ks per nine, 9 ERA, negative 0.69 FIP.
I think I know who this is.
I bet you do know who this is. Do you want to call him out?
Is this Kimbrel?
This is Kimbrel. Yeah.
I'm leaving him at the altar.
You're leaving him at the altar? Really?
Him at the altar.
Really? You didn't like what you saw?
No, it's not that I didn't like what I saw.
Okay.
In fact, I'm not whelmed or underwhelmed or overwhelmed by what I saw.
Yeah.
I have incredibly low expectations for what Kimbrel is going to bring to the Orioles in 2024. Now, again, I'm not hating on the guy.
Sure.
This is not like aggressive, oh, he's a bum. I don't see that signing and go, oh, thank God we got Kimbrel.
So is this a situation where you're at the altar with Craig Kimbrel and you're just like, I just can't, and you just run back to Felix Bautista's arms?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm Julia Roberts in this situation.
I think you're Omar, actually, but
There is that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like I said, I think the biggest concern from a Kimbrel standpoint is I thought his stuff looked really nice. I think everything was fine. He had a few, that bloop hit was annoying, but again, it was Kansas City Devil magic. But I think the big thing is going to be for him and Cano is, and it looks like it this way for almost all Orioles pitchers, their delivery to the plate looks extremely slow this year. And it's interesting because it's something that really no one is talking about this year. The Orioles do have a new pitching coach up this given year. And typically in the past, the pitching coaches for the Baltimore Orioles, especially during the Buck Showalter era, were really deliberate about, in essence, speed to the plate. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if the pitching coach, in essence, hasn't put as much of a priority on that, at the beginning of the season. And I'm wondering now, after seeing what happened with the Royals organization, if they're going to have to, in essence, go during certain series, not all series, but certain series, and say, guys, we're going to have to approach this team differently. Because again, if the Orioles get into a series with the Diamondbacks, and that's how they approach the Diamondbacks are going to destroy them.
I think that both are true. Both. The Orioles have particularly relievers, some relievers who are slow to the plate, and they played an opponent that just has incredible speed.
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to get that kind of
the Diamondbacks, the only aggressive. Other team I can think of, honestly.
Yeah. You're not going to get that kind of aggression with a lot of other teams, but for teams that are speedy,
yeah,
that's a problem for our bullpen. Yeah. It really is.
So it's something for us to think about on that basis. Okay. I think that's it for all I have for Love is Blind.
Do I win anything?
You do not win anything. You win my love.
Well, that is a prize in itself, Scotty.
Because you know what they say. You can't buy my love.
I feel like I left with a lot of spouses. I'm a bigamist for my Orioles fandom.
Well, that's not a bad thing. Your love is abound is the best way to put it. With that, it's time to bring back one of the most popular segments of the show. We'll be right back. That's right, Jake. I'm the boss.
What? What is this? This feels wrong. This is not how fantasy boss works.
Listen, the only time you can hear Gwen Stefani at this moment is when Gunnar Henderson comes up to the plate.
The way that fantasy boss works is that I pull stuff out of my butt.
Yep.
Win every week.
Yep.
And then throw it in your face.
That's exactly right. And that is why last year I pulled that same routine of like, I'm just going to pull random things out of my butt. I'm going to pick random people that make no logical sense or any aspects, and it's going to work out great.
And it worked out great.
Worked out great.
You throttled me last season.
I throttled you last season.
Even with wild cards, I couldn't keep up.
Yep.
Scotty, congratulations on your first of many
yep.
Fantasy Boss victories. Listeners, if you have no idea what we're talking about, Fantasy Boss is a competition that we track throughout the season. We pick a stat every week and we decide, we each pick a player or players who is going to do better in that particular stat. And then we count them all up at the end of the year and then somebody gets to gloat. In this instance, Scott has won his first ever Fantasy Boss in convincing fashion. I mean, it was just an utter, utter demolishment. So, Scotty, you have the moment of honor. You get to pick our first Fantasy Boss category of the year. What'll it be?
So I'm going to go super simple this week, and I'm going to give you two choices. And my question is going to be, which individual is going to get their first hit first? Is it going to be Tony Kemp, or is it going to be Ramon Urias?
All right. So this is an either or. I get one, you get the other?
That is correct.
All right. I'm going to go with Ramon Urias.
Okay. And I'm assuming you're going with that because you expect him to play more than Tony Kemp.
I want it to be true in my heart. and because of that, I'm going with
Is that Ramon. Because you always think about the Ramon Empire?
Yeah, I'm always thinking of the Ramon Empire.
That's fine. I will take Tony Kemp as the backup choice. That is probably not the choice I would have made, and I probably did not want Tony Kemp, which means that Tony Kemp is probably going to win, is the best way to describe it.
he's gonna light the world on fire.
He's going to have three home runs, and no one's going to talk about Jackson Holliday ever again, is the best way to put it.
I don't know if this is the right spot. We've concluded our fantasy boss business, but I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
The kibitzing about the roster construction and lineup is crazy to me. The Orioles are 4-2. They've had an okay week. They beat up on a bad Angels team. They won a series that
they're third in the American League East, Jake. Third.
They won a series that was far closer than it should have been against the Royals, but they're 4-2 and 6 games in. That's fine. 6 games in, I don't want to hear any more complaining about Ramon Urias not hitting. It's a small sample size. Is he a great hitter? No. Is he good enough to be one of the last options off the bench on a great team? 1,000% yes.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you on this basis. Like, if you're looking at Ramon and saying, like, we're not putting him in the lineup to, in essence, hit the ball. We're putting him in the lineup to be a defensive replacement. I get it. However, I think in April, that's okay. If we get further into the season, I do start to question the standpoint of, like, there has to be better options.
Yeah, but I think that, like, Ramon Urias could be on the 26-man roster of any playoff-contending team.
I think I agree with you that he could be, but I think you still want, specifically in a playoff environment, I think you want individuals that can come off the bench mm-hmm. and be damaging hitters. And when I look at someone like a Tony Kemp or Ramon Urias, and no offense to James McCann, but James McCann as well, like, those are three players that are on the bench right now that are not late inning substitutes that you make in order to put yourself in a better position to win the game with an at bat.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I think that
Ryan O'Hearn was that individual last year where they were able to put Ryan O'Hearn into a pinch hitting spot, and he delivered in spades, is the best way to describe it. So, you know, Ryan O'Hearn is not on my list on that basis, but I think it's something to keep an eye on for Ramon Urias, which is, yes, you play a nice defensive, you know, aspect, specifically at third base kind of only.
Yeah, but the thing is, he can play every other position on the diamond.
Can he play shortstop? Like,
I mean, if somebody gets hurt,
I feel like you got Jorge
for a couple of innings. Well, yeah, sure.
I think you got Jorge at that point. And, like, I think that's the whole thing. Is like, you've got Jorge and you got Urias. Like, Jorge can't play third base. Jorge can play shortstop and second base, and apparently center field. And Urias just really screams to me, like, you can play third base and second base, kinda. But I just really wonder how valuable that is. I mean, in a worst case scenario, you could say, okay, Gunner, we're going to move you to third base. We're going to put Mateo at shortstop, and we'll just reorganize it just like we saw last year. So I just don't know how valuable that defensive player is.
And to counter my own point, like an idiot, the fact that Tony is playing some first base also decreases the need to have a guy who can play first base in a pinch.
Right, exactly. And I think James McCann could go play first base if necessary. I think Adley could do it serviceably is the best way to say it. I think there's a bunch of people that could, in essence, go out and do it. So, again, I look at the position for a moment, and I'm like, you're a third baseman, a second baseman, really? And no offense, we've got a lot of players that can play third base and second base right now that I just don't know if it's really necessary.
All right, fine. You beat me at Fantasy Boss last year, right, and you bested me at this
point. So I'm 1-0 now?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, with that, it's time to find out who is good, who is bad, and who is ugly this week in Orioles baseball.
That's right, it's time again for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Pretty self-explanatory. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Scotty, I'm going to go ahead and get started so that you can have the last word. My good this week is going to go to Grayson Rodriguez. You know, all of the excitement was about Corbin Burnes. Everybody wanted to see Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes turned in a great performance on opening day, just dominant. And Grayson Rodriguez came out and matched him basically note for note. He was incredible. And the thing about his performance on the day following opening day was the changeup, right? He was wiping guys out with the changeup. Yes, he had the electric speed. Yes, he went, you know, deep enough into the game. But if he's going to have that changeup at that level with the gas that he's got, he is going to be trouble this season. I was really, really excited to see the start that Grayson Rodriguez was able to put in.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the case. You know, ending the Angel series, I thought for sure Gunnar was going to be my good this week. Gunnar tailed off a little bit in that Royal series. And instead, I'm going to go with the other, you know, absolute necessity, which was, you know, Corbin Burnes, you know, pitched amazingly on opening day. And even though he struggled last evening, he kept the team in it. And even though he sprinkled a ton of hits, he kind of showed that perseverance and bulldog mentality to get through it. So, again, that was probably one of the worst starts that he'll have this season. And he managed to keep the team in it. And that allowed the team to eventually come back and win the game.
I was probably more impressed with that than I was opening day. I mean, of course, opening day was great.
Opening day, right? Was so much more impressive to me. But
he was everything he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't have his best stuff,
yeah,
when he's up against weather, when his, you know, pregame routine has been messed with, like all those things that were working against him, and he was able to be good enough.
Yeah.
Right. I love that. All right. So for my bad this week, I'm going to go back to good. And my good is Jordan Westberg. Mm. Now, I know that Jordan Westberg's complete body of work is perhaps not up to snuff with everybody else. He did have a 93 weighted runs created plus this week. So he's just under the league average in a short sample size. But Westberg is having really good at-bats, mm-hmm. and he was really rewarded with one in a walk-off home run. I really, really want good things for Jordan Westberg. He is overshadowed in this group of young guys by the likes of Gunnar Henderson, by the likes of Jackson Holliday. He's not mentioned in the same breath with the best young Orioles, but I really do want him to be successful. And if you listen to him talk, he does have that fire. You know, he knows that he doesn't have, you know, the firepower to go up against those guys, but he really wants to be the best major league player that he can be. I'm rooting for him, and at least this week he was good.
All right, so Jake, my bad for this week, it's going to go to. I'm going to have to give it to Austin Hayes. Again, we talked about him earlier, just not hitting at the plate. You know, he plays a great defensive outfield. I mean, I'm going to give it to him all the time. He makes great plays.
He's got a gun out
there. He's got a gun. But yeah, I mean, offensively, you know, I can't see him as more than an eight hitter right now. So Austin Hayes has to turn around again with these guys in Norfolk doing as well as they're doing. Even Colton Cowser doing as well as he's doing. Austin Hayes made a very good point when he started at the very beginning of the season saying, I would really like an extension because I think he knows that time is ticking for him in this organization.
Not only is he up against all those guys, he's up against April Jorge Mateo.
Yeah.
All right. For my ugly this week, I'm going to go back to the good.
That's three goods.
Oh, it's opening week of the season, Scott. Of course I was going good, good, good. My good, good, goodest is simply having baseball back.
Yeah.
It has been so incredible to you know, get home after whatever it is that you've got going on, turn on the baseball game and have that. You talk about it all the time, about it being the white noise, the, you know, the glue of the rest of your evening. But I've gotten to sit down and just watch baseball, listen to it on the radio, and, you know, drive. I was driving Henry home from baseball practice the other night when the Orioles walked off against the Royals. It is just so incredible to have baseball back. I've missed it so much. My good, good, good this week is the return of Orioles baseball.
The ugly has to be the greatest enemy of your good. And that's rainy days. Rain, especially in April, is the worst of things. You get so excited for baseball to occur, and then it gets delayed, it gets postponed, or even you have to go out into fields and dredge them and basically pull up, you know, thousands of gallons worth of water. Rain is absolutely the most ugliest thing about baseball and the baseball season whatsoever.
Can we just blow the save right now? play the music because I'm going to get on my soapbox.
Play the music? All right, you got it.
All right, you had to get me riled up. Screw this rain. Screw this rain sideways. I have been...
How sore are you right now?
Oh, my God. Okay. So I have, over the last few seasons, been coaching my son Henry's team, and it's been raining a bit here.
A bit?
In Maryland.
We had hail today.
His season.
Multiple times.
Wait. His season started last Saturday. He had a doubleheader, and I bailed a field for days. I mean, just days. And look, at one point, I could do a field by myself, no big deal. But he's 13 now.
How does that make you? I don't do math.
He plays on the big field.
Yeah.
90-foot diamond.
90-foot diamond.
That's a lot of surface area.
Yeah.
I am so sorry. But the other thing that I've got going on right now is I am on the board as the tournament director for the Upper Chesapeake Baseball Festival. This is a great event here in Harford County. We're hosting a tournament this weekend, April 6th and 7th. There are going to be 144 teams in town. We have 11 sites. There are over 40 fields that we're going to use. It's a great event because all of the proceeds go directly back into growing the game of baseball here in Harford County. We support a lot of great youth baseball organizations. It is incredible to be a part of. But screw this rain.
You know who doesn't like youth baseball? The rain. Because it said, Monday, we're going to drop some rain. Tuesday, we're going to drop some rain. Wednesday, we're going to drop a heck of a lot of rain. And then Thursday, it's just like some scattered showers. And then it's just like, you know what? Instead, we're going to rain some more and then drop some hail onto your field as well.
I was out there tonight with a shop vac,
yeah,
and a generator trying to suck more water off a field. It started raining real hard. And I was like, screw this. I'm going home.
Yeah.
And as I was driving home, it hailed on me. I was like, really?
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 Yeah.
So look, hey, listeners, if you're around on Friday in the Harford County area and you have access to a shop vac and a generator, come on down.
Come on down.
Hit me up on any of the socials. I'll put you to work right away.
We'll put you to work and we will treat you to a frosty beverage or two or three.
And as many Advils as it takes.
And as many Advils as it takes.
To be able to feel your legs again.
But yes, for spring baseball, rain is the absolute worst. Both in terms of impacting youth baseball, but also the excitement of the season starting anew.
And that is our show. Remember that you can find this in our entire catalog of indispensable episodes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com.
Bird's Eye View is available for download wherever it is you get your podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, Spotify, and many others. Please remember to rate and review the show. We really do appreciate it, and it encourages other people to listen for the first time.
Come and get social with us. You can email us at contact@birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You can find us all over social media. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Threads. We have an Instagram account. We're on Facebook. We have a Snapchat account. We are on the Ticks and the Talks. We're even on Mastodon. But the best place to find us is on a site that used to be called Twitter, where we do something that used to be called tweeting at Bird's Eye View, BAL. And with that, Baltimore and beyond, I'll bid you all a fond adieu, adieu.
Rain, rain, go away. Come again another century from now. And let's go, O's.
Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days, and rain and rain and rain always gets me down.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.